Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Shardless by Stephanie Fisher, narrated by Elizabeth Evans. Prologue. As Brina sat on the garden wall, sipping her tea and watching the colors of the new day ignite on the horizon, she had no way of knowing that this would be the day that she died. It was a day just like any other day, following the same rhythms and patterns. Breakfast, then lunch. She cleaned the kitchen and swept the floors. And since she was as of yet completely unaware of her impending demise, when the sun began to set, marking the end of another ordinary day filled with ordinary tasks, she was content with its mediocrity and the safety that being average provided. The sky had already turned dark when Brina finally set down her quill. She stood carefully, her bones cracking in protest. The ether was noticeably thinner on the island, and most days it left her feeling tired. Shaking out her braid, she took a moment to survey the meager cottage. The scuffed wood floors and whitewashed walls were a far cry from the luxury of her youth, but she had managed to make the space comfortable. The rugs may have been threadbare, but they warded off the chill of the morning. And the quilts on the beds, though second-hand, were soft from age. The little garden beyond the open window was just beginning to bloom, and sprays of snowdrops and irises blanketed the ground outside. In this small, isolated town on the western coast of the island of Temperance, a cottage with its own garden was a rarity. Most of the villages in the region, though not lacking for space, were packed tightly together. The nights could be dangerous, especially when the gates were charging. A peal of laughter rang out, and Brina smiled, stepping over to the window to observe the dynamic force of kinetic energy that was her daughter. A man with auburn hair and a plain canvas coat was trying to herd the rebellious child inside, but the little bundle of scraped knees and golden curls was having none of it. She kept darting in between his outstretched arms, disappearing and reappearing at will. First, in front of him, her tongue sticking out in a playful taunt, then behind him with a barely suppressed giggle. Brina frowned. Oh dear. It seemed Corey's magic was progressing more quickly than they expected, which meant that even more of the girl's ether would need to be locked away. A familiar pang of guilt fluttered in her chest. Brina hated to do it, even if it was necessary. Until they could smuggle the girl through the Aeon Gate and into the mortal cities, they needed to stay hidden, and taking away Corey's magic was a small price to pay. The man still hadn't managed to capture the elusive child, so Brina called out in a forceful tone, "Corinna, it's time to come inside." Her six-year-old daughter's silvery gray eyes searched for the source of the reproach, and a mournful pout blossomed across the girl's face when she saw her mother's stern expression. Surrendering, Corey allowed herself to be escorted inside the cottage. Brina was still amazed at how much her daughter was starting to resemble her. When the girl was older, they might very well be twins. Brina took one last glance at her desk. Five wine-colored crystals sat inside a circle of faintly glowing runes, each one pulling in ether from the air and storing it away for a time when it might be needed. She knew she was being overly cautious, but she wanted her supply of shadow crystals fully charged, just in case they needed to run. She studied the various items scattered across the desk, plucking a half-empty inkwell from the clutter. Blood caked the sides and congealed at the bottom, turning black as it dried. Holding her hand over the pot, she began to channel what was left of her magic, and slowly, the remaining fluid started to glow and roil before dissolving into the air. A wispy, crackling haze of energy now hovered beneath her outstretched palm. Brina took a moment to admire the apparition. Raw ether. As a shadow mage, her magical ability was tied to the manipulation of the very building blocks of magic. She waved her hand, and felt the ether particles dance around her fingers, prickling her skin. Placing the now empty inkwell into a small wooden chest, she waved the cloud over her other hand, where a large half-healed gash traveled the length of her palm. The haze seemed to hang in the air around the cut before reabsorbing into her body, seeping into her veins and bolstering her depleted reserve of magic. She watched as her skin slowly knitted itself back together before kneading the unmarred flesh. Only a dull ache remained. A thundering patter of footsteps echoed from downstairs, and Brina quickly put away the rest of her supplies. Various quills, loose leaves of paper, and a small ceremonial dagger her older brother had gifted her when they were children.
Mommy! Mommy!
A small bundle hurtled its way up the stairs and into her arms.
Wanna see my new trick?
The little girl smiled, revealing a row of delicate baby teeth. Brina couldn't help but smile back. While she knew she needed to teach her daughter to be more sensible with her magical abilities, she couldn't resist the contagious joy in the girl's expression.
I saw it already. But sweetie, I've told you before, you shouldn't use your magic outside the cottage. Your Uncle Esmond is going to stop taking you into the forest if you don't behave.
Corey, unfazed by her mother's gentle reproach, patted the older woman's cheek.
No, not that one, silly. I learned a new trick.
Jumping out of Brina's arms, she ran over to Esmond as he crested the stairs. Though still quite young to be a Knight of the Crystal Guard, the faint web-like network of scars across the man's cheeks and brow made him seem older than his mere 3,200 years. Like most members of his order, he kept his reddish hair cropped close to his head and his beard neatly trimmed. As he turned the corner of the stairs, Brina could see the subtle, pointed tips of his ears, an indisputable indicator of his fey parentage. He smiled indulgently at the small girl as she clung to his leg, handing her a glass jar. A single blue butterfly flitted about inside.
Watch, Mommy!
Chubby hands clumsily unscrewed the lid. As the butterfly rushed to escape the confines of its glass prison, the girl extended her arm, and a look of rapt concentration screwed up her delicate features. After a few moments, the air began to crackle with energy, slow at first, but building in strength and intensity. A golden fog formed around the child's outstretched palm as she summoned her ether, and the magic rippled through the air, weaving itself around the butterfly. Corey waggled her fingers, and the tiny insect abruptly froze mid-flight, entangled, suspended, and motionless in a web of flickering, gilded threads. Corey giggled as she deftly twirled her arm, and the butterfly blinked out of existence. Brina followed her daughter's eyes to the far side of the room, where the butterfly now continued its frenzied dance, its movements speeding up and then slowing down like a dancer that couldn't quite find the tempo. Another wave of the child's hand, and the butterfly could do nothing but obey, sluggishly retracing its path through the air until it settled back into the jar. The haze of sparkling ether dissipated, as time once more found its correct rhythm. Brina clapped excitedly as her daughter bounced at her mother's feet, thoroughly satisfied with her performance.
Fantastic! You'll be ready for your first crystal soon.
While the child was preoccupied with the quivering insect, Brina shared a worried glance with Esmond. Then, taking the jar, she stepped over to the open window to let the butterfly escape into the still night air, saying over her shoulder,
All right, my dear, I think that's enough for today. Time for bed.
On cue, the small girl squealed theatrically.
No! No, I don't want to go to bed. I'm not...
A large yawn cut off the rest of the sentence, effectively silencing the child's desperate plea. Brina leaned down to look her daughter in the eye.
Go peacefully, and you can take your bath tomorrow.
Okay.
The young fey girl placed a sloppy kiss on her mother's cheek before lunging for the bed. She bounced once, then twice, before throwing the faded quilt over her head.
Eyes closed, Brina said, watching the lump on the bed suspiciously. Almost immediately, the blanket started to rhythmically rise and fall. Satisfied that her daughter was truly asleep, Brina dimmed the lamps and followed her brother down the stairs. The main room of the cottage consisted of a sparsely furnished open space with a blue door that led to the garden path outside. A ceramic sink with a rusted iron spigot occupied one corner of the room, and a plain wooden table and three mismatched chairs had been carefully arranged in the center of the kitchen area. Brina slumped into a chair, shaking her head when Esmond offered her a cup of wine from an unmarked bottle.
Someone almost saw her today.
The knight leaned against the sink, scowling into his own cup.
I thought you reinforced the spells.
I did, Brina said with a tired sigh. She burned through them again. Her magic is developing too quickly for me to keep up. Every time I try to lock it away, more bubbles to the surface. Esmond watched her impassively.
We're only a few weeks out now, once the Aeon Gate opens.
I know. We'll be back in Farrow. Corey will be safe.
You don't sound convinced.
Brina sighed, picking at a crack in the table.
You were there that day. You saw the same thing I did, Essie.
That was just a human walking in the woods.
If you believe that, then you're a fool.
Esmond went quiet, because he had been there that day. He had seen the afternoon light dissolve into shadows, and just like her, he had quietly been making his own preparations. After several long moments, Esmond pushed himself off the sink and strode for the door.
It's time for my patrol.
Essie? Brina called out, rising from the table. Esmond paused, but didn't turn.
Thank you, she said. I've said it before, but thank you. It was my duty to come.
No, it was your duty to hand Corey over to the Crystal Guard. And that's exactly what he had tried to convince her to do, before she had shown him why that wasn't an option.
This went beyond duty. You didn't have to come. You didn't have to believe me, but you did. So, thank you.
Esmond jerked his chin.
You're my sister, and Atlas is my friend. There was never a decision to make.
Brina smiled sadly, sinking back down into her chair as she watched her brother retrieve his sword and slip out into the night. The soft snick of the door felt strangely final. The first thing that Brina noticed was the heat. It was still early spring, and the chill of winter lingered in the air. Most mornings she would bury her nose further underneath the blanket at the first sign of wakefulness. But the heat was oppressive. It demanded her attention. Even in her languid state, she could sense the sweat beading and rolling down her skin.
Brina, wake up!
Someone was urgently shaking her now. Finally coming to, she opened her eyes to find a very distressed Esmond standing over her.
Essie, whatever is the matter?
She mumbled, rubbing the sleep from her eyes.
The village is being attacked.
He moved frantically about the room, a blue aura emanating from his form and filling the tiny space. He held a crystal in his hand, casting water-dousing spells in each corner of the bedroom. The heat began to abate, bit by bit, as the harsh glow of the flames outside started to dim.
There was a commotion in the town square when I was doing my rounds. A mob, maybe 15 fire mages and a handful of water and shadow mages. They were asking about a girl, a time mage.
Dread coiled in her stomach as Brina spurred into action, rushing out of the bedroom and into the main room. She could sense water magic casing the walls, holding back the tendrils of flames that already lapped at the exterior of the little cottage. Water crystals had been placed at each corner of the room,
anchoring the spells that had been haphazardly woven together into a protective web.
"Hurry," Brina mumbled, silently reprimanding herself. She didn't have time to dawdle. There was too much at stake.
The glass from the windows had already shattered, and it crunched beneath Brina's boots as she made her way over to the stairs. Thankfully, the original dowsing spells Esmond had set when they first moved in were still intact on the upper level, effectively blocking the heat of the fires outside.
Corey slept peacefully, unaware of the encroaching danger.
"Baby, wake up!"
Brina gently shook the slumbering girl. Corey struggled to open her eyes, blearily gazing into the distraught face of her mother. Brina said nothing as she picked up the child, and Corey's slight arms instinctually wrapped around her mother's neck. Balancing her daughter in one arm, Brina moved across the room to collect the small chest of enchanting supplies sitting on the desk. When her eyes flitted to the window, she could see a line of robed figures standing just outside the edge of the cottage property. Her throat tightened. It had finally happened. The sanctorum had finally found them. An angry violet light saturated the air around the line of mages as they methodically dismantled the glamours and ether concealment spells she and Esmond had spent weeks cloaking beneath the stones of the garden wall. Beyond the vanguard, the village was ablaze, and pillars of smoke blackened the night sky. Muttering a silent prayer and wishing that she still believed in the shard's mercy, Brina rushed down the stairs and followed her brother into the cellar.
"They're already outside," she snapped, as she placed Corey on the mattress of a small bed stuffed into the corner of the dank room.
She haphazardly dumped out her enchanting supplies, spreading them across a quilt that had long ago turned yellow with age.
"Something doesn't seem right."
Esmond paused to pull out another glowing water crystal, before continuing to cast a line of protective spells across the back wall.
"I could see fires off in the distance. I think they may have hit Plum and Bargo, too."
Brina's mouth went dry.
"You think they're burning the entire western coast,
just to find one little girl?"
"I don't know," Esmond admitted. "It doesn't make sense. None of this makes any sense. Even if they did discover us, to come into the Marquess Castaro's territory and start burning his villages, it's madness."
Brina forced herself to breathe as she began organizing her supplies.
"We can figure that out later. What are our options right now?"
Esmond hesitated, still preoccupied with the various enchantments that now shrouded the room. The walls, the floor, the ceiling, every surface was awash with water magic.
"If they've already made it as far north as Bargo, that means the roads to Rhyme won't be safe. Our best option is to defend ourselves here."
"Right then."
Brandishing her dagger, Brina sliced open her palm and filled the small ink pot with a flood of fresh blood. Her heart pounded in her ears, her hands shook, but she paid her rising dread no mind. The stakes were too high to give in to panic. Closing her eyes and taking a deep breath, she set to work, placing the shadow crystals she had charged earlier in a circle around the trembling Fae child, and sending out small wisps of her magic to each one. The air started to feel richer as the crystals released their stored ether, and Brina breathed it in. Her shoulders straightened, and any lingering traces of fatigue melted away as she felt the ether saturate her blood. Grabbing Corey's arm, Brina waved her hand, methodically extracting the ether from the water glamour Esmond had cast to conceal the underlying web of spells. Braided lines of runes surfaced on the girl's pale skin, flickering to life, and spiraling out from a crescent-shaped shadow crystal that had been embedded in the base of her palm. The little girl had been uncharacteristically quiet, and she looked up at the older woman, fear clouding her expression.
"Mommy, I don't understand."
Brina cupped her daughter's cheek with her undamaged hand.
"I know, baby, I know. But I need you to be very brave right now. Can you do that for Mommy?
Corey nodded resolutely, even as the tears overflowed and spilled down her reddened cheeks.
Good girl. Now I need you to drink.
Brina held up her bleeding palm. When her daughter hesitated, she added,
Please, I know you don't like it, but we don't have time to argue right now. This is important.
Corey nodded and took a tentative sip from the pool of blood welling around the cut, her face scrunching up at the taste. Esmond paused, turning to face them.
What are you doing?
I need to seal away her magic, completely this time. She's too vulnerable like this.
Confusion clouded his eyes, followed by a stark realization.
That's forbidden magic. And outside your specialization, how would you even know that spell?
You made your preparations, Brina said, and I made mine.
Esmond stopped completely.
That spell requires a full contingent of mages. Where are you going to get the ether?
Brina didn't look up.
I've been charging crystals, she said,
as she began to pen new runes across Corey's skin.
And you have enough in reserve.
A pause. Barely a heartbeat of hesitation before she said softly,
No. Not unless I give her my anima.
Esmond crossed the short expanse of the room and stood over her, watching her work.
You'll die if you do that.
Brina stopped long enough to look up at the man who had given up his entire life to escape with her to this little island on the outer edge of nowhere.
Over a year ago, he had left his own family behind to defend hers.
Look around, she said tearfully. Those monsters don't care who they kill. We're all going to die if we don't do something.
Her face crumpled as she turned back, the crimson runes becoming sloppier and less evenly spaced as she failed to control the tremble in her hands. Corey's eyes started to droop as more and more of her ether, more of her essence, was sealed away inside the runes that now crawled up her arm like blood-drenched ivy. Esmond stood by, silent, his arms hanging limply by his sides. Brina worked quickly and quietly, pushing down the fear and doubt. And soon, too soon, the final enchantment was complete. Placing her quill to the side, she laid both hands on the mattress and closed her eyes. Her breath came in gasped stutters, and her heart beat erratically in her chest. The color was already draining from her cheeks. She had completely depleted her anima casting this enchantment, tapped into the magic of her soul. She didn't have very long left. Esmond knelt beside her. Removing his final water crystal, he waved it over the complex mass of spells that were now etched into Corey's skin. The glamour slowly crept across the child's arm, hiding away the glowing crimson markings behind a wave of concealment magic.
Are you sure you want to do this? He asked. It's not too late to undo the spells. Please, little sister. There are so many things that could go wrong. That was the Sanctorum outside, Brina said sadly. Even if we survived the fire, they've already condemned the town. They plan to kill everyone, including us.
Esmond hung his head, recognizing the truth in her words. Shaking her daughter, Brina smiled sadly as Corey's eyes slowly fluttered open. She looked dazed, as if she was half-dreaming already.
Corey, you need to listen to me. Very soon, you're not going to remember this. You're going to go to sleep, and when you wake up, you'll have a new life.
Kneeling, Esmond gingerly handed his sister a polished mahogany box, steadying her hands as she felt for the clasp. The lid came away easily, revealing a small tear-shaped bauble resting upon a bed of crushed azure velvet. They both shared a look before Brina threaded the simple rose-colored crystal onto a piece of string,
and tied it around Corey's neck.
The person who gave me this,
Brina whispered, trailing her fingers across Corey's cheek,
said that as long as you have this with you, someone would always come to find you. Never take it off. Understand?
The girl nodded weakly, but her eyes were already drooping. She fought valiantly, her hand grasping at her mother's sleeve, but she couldn't overcome the fatigue that claimed her as the remaining ether in her blood burned away. Tears flowed freely from Brina's eyes as she looked at the face of her child for the last time.
I love you. One day, I hope you remember that.
Esmond tucked the blanket around the girl. Have you given her a new name?
Yes,
Brina said, refusing to look away from her daughter's face. She caressed the child's delicate features, committing them to memory.
Atlas should find it amusing.
Esmond watched the scene quietly, his face falling as Brina stroked the child's flaxen hair. Moving to stand, he said, The dousing spells are strong enough to protect her from the fires, but I still need to fortify the concealment spell on the door from the outside. I'll come back if I can, but...
I know.
The Sanctorum was already here, already beating down their door. They were working on borrowed time. Brina could barely hold her head up as she tried to turn to face him.
Take me with you, Essie.
Brina, that's not necessary. Stay here. Spend your last moments with your child.
No. If you don't make it back, and I'm found down here with her, it will just raise suspicions. I won't take that risk.
Her entire body trembled as she struggled to rise, and when her legs gave way, Esmond caught her, slinging an arm underneath her knees as he lifted her.
Take me upstairs, brother.
Let me face our attackers. Let them look me in the eye as they burn my bones.
Let my spirit rise to the heavens on a cloud of smoke and ash. I can't think of a more fitting burial.
Her strength was fading, but instead of pain, she just felt a cold numbness creeping in as Esmond carried her up the stairs. The door to the cellar snicked shut, and she knew she wouldn't live to see it open.
Do you think she'll remember me?
Brina asked, as Esmond set her down at the same table and chairs where the three of them had eaten a peaceful dinner just hours before. If she concentrated, she could still smell the faint aroma of burned stew and fresh bread lingering on the air.
I know the spell, but do you think it's possible?
Her body went limp, and her eyes were already starting to flutter closed as death drew nearer. Esmond laid her head down gently upon the table, folding her hands underneath her cheek as if in sleep.
Yes, little sister.
He tried his best to smile reassuringly, despite the tears that rolled down his cheeks.
She'll remember. Every child dreams of their mother's face.
15 years later. Chapter 1. An excerpt from Practical Spellcasting for the Modern Mage. The study of magic inevitably begins with a single question. What is ether? At its core, ether is a gaseous element, naturally occurring in breathable air. It is the building block of magic, the cornerstone of modern science, the foundation upon which the Fae Imperium resides. In short, ether is everything, so ubiquitous within our society that even class divisions are defined by the genetic predisposition to absorb, refine, and transform this substance into various forms of magical output. The Fae, as natural magic users, stratify themselves into subclasses based upon birth and ability. Whereas those that cannot wield ether to perform magic,
reside at the bottom of the social hierarchy.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?